This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Taco to go, taco to, and a big cube. Taco to go, taco to go. Trip Taco, just $2.99. Comes with a big queue, this deal so fine. Brisket breakfast, so much to choose. For $2.99, you really can't taco, lose. Taco, 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 taco. This deal legit. Taco, taco, taco. Only at Quick Trip. Taco to go, taco to go, taco to go. $2.99.
All right, Steph Curry's hamstring is pulled. He's going to be out for at least a week. That came down yesterday, the report. Sham Sharania had the report. Here was Brian Windhorst on his podcast, The Hoop Collective, talking about Steph and some of the information he got about Steph after Game 7 against the Rockets. Is it possible that the Rockets, perhaps one game too late, caused the injury that is changing the face of the Western Conference postseason?
I am not any sort of medical professional or expert. I'm not pretending. I'm not saying that this has anything to do with it. I'm just going to state a fact. On Sunday, when the Warriors went into Houston and won Game 7, Steph Curry ran 1.99 miles in that game. The most that was, since we've been tracking, I don't know, a decade, it's the most he's ever run in a game. Now, this guy is obviously incredibly conditioned. It was an amazing performance. He had 10 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 blocks, 2 steals. That was the farthest on record we've ever seen him run. So at age 36 or whatever he is, he has the most running he's ever done. And 48 hours later comes up with a hamstring injury.
I like this theory because the Rockets are the ones that caused him to have to run so much, because they're actually a team that pays attention to things going on off the ball and paying attention to Steph Curry. By and large, except for some rare exceptions, they're not a team that loses sight of Steph Curry.
Right.
There were moments that they did throughout the series, but for the most part, and I would say more than most other NBA teams, they pay attention to Steph. So Steph's got to run more to get free.
It is. Going back to Chris Paul pulling his hamstring in Game 5, the Rockets had been riding Chris Paul hard, and the Warriors were making Chris Paul work really, really hard in that series. And remember after that, it was after Game 5 when Kerr was kind of smiling, even though they were down in the series and what have you. And you're wondering, it might have been after Game 4. It was after Game 4. Because I think the Warriors felt like Chris Paul can't keep this up. Like, at some point, we're just going to break Chris Paul. And he broke. So Steph Curry, I don't know if it doesn't make me feel any better that, okay, the Rockets gave him a real run for his money, but they did make the Warriors work, and the Warriors gave the Rockets a lot of credit for playing the kind of defense they did.
In a weird way, forget about any animus or pettiness that we've got towards Steph Curry. It just purely as a spectator, not that we're going to be talking about this series of Minnesota and Golden State every day on the show, but just as a basketball fan, to me it makes that series a little more intriguing, because now you can see, okay, does Jimmy Butler have to go into the same hero mode now without Steph that he did in Miami a couple times to get them to the NBA Finals? And by the way, doing it against a team that I think he played one season for and wanted the hell out of there. Like, people forget the Jimmy Butler Minnesota season is among the more forgotten seasons in Jimmy Butler's career. He's played for like 5 teams. You know, he was with the Sixers for a period, in Chicago for a period, obviously in Miami, and now he's with Golden State. I don't think there's any love lost with Jimmy Butler and the fans in Minnesota. So in a weird way, removing Steph Curry, one of the 5 or 10 greatest players of this generation of all time, from that series makes it more intriguing to me. I don't know if it makes it more intriguing to the average person listening to us right now, but I do think there are some Rocket emotions tied up in this Steph Curry hamstring. Like, Why game one of the next round? Why not game six of the round against the Rockets?
Why not the second quarter? Well, I don't know. Maybe the second quarter would have been too late. But just that second quarter of game seven.
Yeah, it might have been too late the way they played. Yeah.
Curry didn't do anything in the first quarter. I can't remember when he scored his first point, but he was 0 for forever while Rockets were already down heavy. So, yeah, game six. Let's say game six.
That would have been good. That would have been good. All right, so, Seth, I think I've told you about this. The show before ours, Maggie and Perloff, both of whom we've met, and I like them both personally. Andrew Perloff has some weird takes sometimes. I'm just going to put it out there. He's got some strange takes. This was one where I said, this is Takeomania worthy. This might show up again tomorrow.
This is Tankamania worthy, especially because it starts off as a bad take, but then as evidence, the data he uses to justify his bad take goes over the top.
Yeah. So here was Perloff kind of minimizing. This is yesterday morning, so this is the morning after Steph Curry pulls the hamstring. Him just saying, it's no big deal.
You guys don't think that Curry has any chance to come back from this? I mean, we've all had little hamstring pulls. They're
tough.
The
amount that he runs and how he has to move throughout a game, I don't
What are you talking about? He goes from the top of the three-point line on one side to the top of the three-point line on the other.
Constantly moving.
That cannot be further from
moving on offense is easy. Moving on, I mean, they'll hide him on defense. All he has to do is hit a bunch of threes.
Ask Reggie Miller and Klay Thompson, guys who do that stuff, and Ray Allen, the kind of conditioning they do. It's grueling. It's like, that is very hard. It's terribly hard on the defenders to cover those guys because they're in better shape than them.
As a former big man in high school, I'll tell you right now, the guards don't do crap. They're running 40 yards.
God, give me a break.
And Steph, running on offense doesn't count. It doesn't, anybody can run around and get a shot.
He was like the most well-conditioned guy in the NBA because of all the stuff he did off the ball. Like, this could not be more wrong.
Well, regardless, I think that he can be effective in a different way because he can hit his shot. Like, he's... A hamstring injury if it's John Morant and he has an injury, as we saw, that's bad. But Steph can be effective a little bit, right? Like, you still have to watch out for Steph. I don't care if he has one functional leg.
What are you talking about?
I don't know what he's talking about there. What? He kept piling on. Sean, okay, I took notes during this just to count up the bad takes within one overall awful take.
Yeah.
Started off with, we've all had hamstring injuries. Two, so you guys all know what I'm talking about here. Two, moving on offense is easy.
That's different than defense, yeah.
Three, as a former big man in high school.
I want to think that part he was only kidding, but the take surrounding it was so bad.
I think he was. It's just, no, but it's almost like I don't know. Has he ever watched the Warriors actually play basketball?
Has he ever watched Steph play basketball?
To act like Steph Curry, that all he does is catch and shoot or something.
He shoots... A big chunk of his shots are shot with guys chest to chest with him almost. Like he has to create space to make to shoot a lot of his shots.
And off of to say he can do the same things off of one leg. Like, what cannot if no, if he only has one leg and that's the one leg that he's taking the shot off of,
dude.
Yeah, he can be a fat. No. His whole game. The reason people get so angry with the Warriors is because they run so many damn screens and so many of them are sketchy, but they run screen after screen after screen, and he never stops moving.
Okay,
What the hell are you talking about, Perloff?
I'm looking at all your notes right now. You've just gone through those, and those are fantastic. Those are all things. The one thing I wrote down was not on your list is where he said all he has to do is hit a bunch of threes. Like it's Papa Shot or something like that. Like all he has to do is hit a bunch of... Like he's standing at a machine, but the machine is a Papa Shot that's 25 feet in length. Like he's making it sound like he's in the three-point shooting contest on All-Star Weekend. Like all he's got to do is stand there. Like, no, he runs 2 miles a game, you know?
It was like he confused maybe... And it would still be wrong if he was talking about Klay Thompson, but maybe it would make a little bit more sense if he was talking about Klay Thompson back in the day.
Yeah.
But it would still be really, really wrong. But I'm astounded. I'm honestly astounded that he would say
that. It's a national host doing his morning show, having that opinion.
And then it's
right
not
there.
That big a deal.
Yeah.
He's just like, nobody runs as much as Steph Curry.
Yeah.
Like, that's backed up by hard GPS data. And yet, somehow it's no big deal and anybody can do it.
Yeah. I like Perloff, but I'm listening to this and I'm going, this is one of the worst takes I've ever heard in my life. Now,
he was, you know what it is?
Yeah.
There's not a guy out there he could have been talking about. I mean, like James Harden when he's at his worst of just dribbling, and then passing with 2 seconds left in the shot clock.
Yeah,
there have been times where, but even then with James Harden though, like no, you still because he's ridiculously fast getting to the hoop and I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't even want to justify the take, but the only thing I can think of or like offensively. You just stick Steph in the corner, and then obviously somebody has to pay attention to him. If there's a drive and kick out or whatever,
kind of like the old James Harden half court strategy. Remember
yes.
when they would just park James Harden at the half court because it would pull somebody. Somebody has to go out there.
Yeah,
that's what he should have said.
Yeah,
maybe that's what he was working towards. Except he didn't want to invoke James Harden's name in the playoffs.
He made it sound like there's degrees of hamstring injuries where Steph will be fine. It's a hamstring. The very first line, we've all had hamstring injuries.
It was the fact that he made it sound like such an insignificant thing.
Yeah,
that it was no big deal.
Yeah,
that he had a hamstring injury. Like a huge part of Steph Curry's game isn't running around all over the place.
That's one of those moments where I'm listening, and I know this isn't the case with Perloff. I mean, he was part of Dan Patrick's staff for years and years and years. Like, but it's one of those moments where I'm like, do you watch sports? Like,
I wonder if
I know he does. I know he does. But like that take is a do you watch? That's a take like somebody would have by the water cooler who tweaked a hammy at the gym or something. Like, oh, it's not that bad. Come on.
We should doctor that up for him and say this is what you should have said where you could have salvaged yourself is like, listen, guys, all right, I'm exaggerating, but let's go. This was not popular at the time, but there were times where James Harden was such a potent force that there were times the Rockets felt the best thing for him was just go ahead and hang out near the half court. Somebody's got to come out to guard you, and then you can play 4x4 and have some space down on the rest of the court.
Well,
like that's the only way he could have salvaged himself.
The notion that you can hide a one-legged person on defense too is a little. What are you going to be forced to just play zone the whole time?
Did he mention that?
He did. He said you can hide him on defense. Now, if there's a team that you're going to just hide somebody on defense, just by playing zone the whole time, it's Minnesota right now. They can't shoot at all. they are 14 for their last 76 from three.
But you still got to contest those threes, and according to Perloff,
hide him.
Steph doesn't have to run to do it.
Hide him.
Like how do you fly out to guard a three when you're playing zone? You just hobble out
just
there.
Just hobble
on one
out
leg.
There.
That's
So Seth, just know that you're going to be judging that cut again tomorrow.
That's a tough one, man. That'll make the quarterfinals in the annual tournament at the end.
The defending champ right now in Take a Mania, it's our bad take segment we do every Friday, is Mel Kiper and his rant about we know how to scout quarterbacks. The NFL doesn't.
Right. He said the NFL doesn't. We do.
We
the
do.
The fact that he ended on we do.
We do.
When there's so many receipts of him making horrible opinions about quarterbacks. Backs in the draft.
Yeah, sorry, I infected you with my burp.
It's going around.
Yeah, some couple people saying they're laughing out loud. I actually accidentally burped mid sentence in the previous segment. You can go back and listen on the Odyssey Rewind feature. Adam Schefter just put out a list. He just tweeted this out a few minutes ago. Are we sure that this is the right approach for the Cowboys and George Pickens to be taking with their new relationship? We will have that for you coming up next.